Elizabeth Sage.
Yeah.
Hi.
Hi.
We're back, everybody.
We're back.
We're back.
Oh, goodness. Yeah, I mean, cannabis. How many of the companies that are starting now are going to be, are going to survive 10 years? Like,
ooh.
I know there's no good answer to this, but like, we're building out, we went from, this was an illegal thing.
Uh-huh.
To here it is legal, and we're building out all of this infrastructure, and I just wonder what's going to happen. It's just fascinating to me.
For sure. I think federal legalization, federal descheduling.
Federal descheduling. We want descheduling, rescheduling.
Correct. I want movement.
Yeah.
So, like, I can universally say I want it to be different than it is today. I have lots of opinions of where I would like it to go. Mm-hmm. I'm open to it just not being as restricted as it is at this moment. That's my hope, that something happens different this next year. I think there's the hemp market, too. And so it's hard because I say cannabis and I mean all of it.
Yeah.
But there's truly the hemp market and the marijuana market.
These are two separate things.
These are two things that are the same that are regulated differently.
Yeah.
Which is really, it's just a legal term, everybody. I mean, hemp. Legal term. Marijuana, legal term.
I mean, these cannabis, are the same plant from what
same I'm plant.
Yep. Cannabis is what it is.
Yes.
Yeah.
The other two things, they matter only in legality and the way that we talk about it.
Weird.
Yes. Well, and there's, I mean, you know, truly, if I think about the Farm Bill and what I think that they were intending, I think they were talking about industrial hemp, which is a different sort of cannabis.
Yep.
I think we've taken it and run with it, and you can't put toothpaste back inside the tube, which you probably could, but it would be really messy, and you're not going to be able to get all of it in there. It feels like an arduous process. So what you do is, you know, figure out from here, where do we go? And I don't know the answer to that. I don't know that anybody has the answer to that. I think you put some parameters around the Farm Bill. I think they've been kicking that can down the road, and they've purposefully created the beast that they have. They've seen this happening, and they have allowed states to do things at the state level, which I don't inherently have an issue with, but we have a lot of people who don't fully understand the reasons that they're doing things. And I'll say even here in Minnesota. Minnesota, most of them, right?
Yeah, all of society is that way.
Here in Minnesota, the proposed 70% caps on concentrates is like a wild one to me, because I'm like, you do understand what concentrate means, right?
I mean, I get it.
Yeah. And, you know, like that it doesn't, you know, and whether or not we're preserving that for the medical market, I think that's kind of a bullshit answer, too, because that's not... You can't deny somebody access to the same thing that will help them because one person has a card that says I can and the other person doesn't have the money to buy the card that says I can. Mm-hmm. Like that's, you know, that's where it gets real.
It's an access issue, right?
It does become an access issue.
It's an access issue. It's and then you know, everybody has this desire to protect the kids, and you know, we all want to do that, right? But
do we? I've got my kids. Of course we want to protect the kids, but have we done as a society, have we done a very good job of this?
Yeah, like,
Are we actually protecting?
Why is this? Yeah, this is our line in the sand of protecting the kids. Then what are we protecting them?
I mean, there's
the reasoning
some gunplay in schools from time to time, right?
Right.
This is not good shit.
It's the reasoning.
And we don't protect our kids very well most of the time.
Right. Anyway. It's the reasoning for the regulation, the legislation, the criminalization. Mm-hmm. It is what everybody hides behind when they're making restrictive regulations. It's, well, we're doing it for the kids, or we're doing it for this, or we're doing it for that, and we're trying to protect society.
And there is a big part of society that still really sees it as harmful. So, like, have to remember that just because in my mind it's a very different thing doesn't mean in other people's mind it's not still terrifying. It isn't still a gateway that all these things aren't happening. We're slowly seeing that stigma roll back. I'm seeing it.
That's part of the reason we decided to
do
the show.
Yeah.
In hopes of reaching some people who... you know, are newish to the industry, mm-hmm. or the not the industry necessarily, but that too, but the newish to the idea that this is legal now.
Yeah.
This is going to be okay. What? Not all going to die.
Nope. And it is. It's very real for some people. And so, like, whether or not that's real for me, it doesn't mean it isn't for them. And so understanding that that's where they're at, and how do I give them one or two or three nuggets of information that's like, oh, actually, I didn't think about it like that.
She said nuggets.
She did say nuggets.
I did. And that's what, you know, starts to unlock things for people, but it can be a really slippery slope too. And so, like I said about, you know, food, and for me, how, you know, once I was like, oh, I want organic cannabis. Oh, I want organic food. Like, you start to realize, like, oh, no, all the food I eat is actually really bad for me. And, like, oh, my air is kind of dirty and my water is not so great. And, like, it's a whole shift that can happen in people, like, yeah. if done a certain way. So I can understand, like, there's a little cognitive dissonance for people, too, of just, like, that's not for me.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. It's the easy way, and mm-hmm. that's an okay way, because it's what you want to do, and that's okay.
That's okay.
Right? But the restrictiveness, it kind of just brings me to the amount of people that are still locked up for the plant.
For sure.
You know, and the, you know, decades. Mm-hmm. Like, there's some folks that have been
in that's four decades,
and it was a nonviolent cannabis crime, and they're locked up. And even the folks that did get locked up for a shorter mm-hmm. period of time for a low-level cannabis offense still has that on their record and is not even a candidate for hire for so many places, right?
Right.
Well, like, what's wild is, like, not even for the industry that put them there. Like, that's been one of the disappointing things to me, is that the badging process in a lot of states requires people not to have felonies on their records. And so these people who maybe have had years of experience growing the plant and doing all these things and, you know, caught a charge and were away for a couple of years, they can't play in the industry that they helped build. And that's where I think, like, my love for Northern California, not just because of the plants that they grow, but because they're what kept this plant alive in the United States. Like, they're what kept not only genetics, but just the hope that it could be something more. They're the people who started those early days of the medical market. And there's a lot that's owed to them that will never be repaid to them. Sure. But that story repeats itself in tons of different pockets across the country. Like, Northern California, absolutely the epicenter of it. But there are people who have been growing medicine for other people throughout our country this whole time. And so they deserve an opportunity to play in the legal market. They have no less impact. Just because somebody changed their mind and said it's no longer bad, it's good, that's not, you know, like, and listen, life isn't fair. The justice system isn't fair. Like, none of it's fucking fair. But, right.
And it's way complicated.
It is way complicated.
We have created, I mean, it just feels like this whole thing, as we've done these shows and I've gotten to know more about the industry and stuff, I'm like, man, what a mess. What a complicated and awesome, really, really nice people in it. And some really great stuff happening. But so many hopes and future dreams pinned on, like, my shop is gonna, and I'm going to grow this. And there's so many people out there waiting for something to happen.
But waiting for something to happen, I'm waiting for something to happen too, but I'm not waiting for anything, like, positive, right, to happen. Because whenever
got some news for some aliens, right? For you.
Yeah. Anytime you have operated in the legacy market, you're always waiting for the rug to get pulled out from underneath you, right?
Yeah.
Because of the criminalization, because, oh my gosh, I get in this trouble, my life would completely change. And, you know, because of some of my actions, somebody spent 3 months in jail.
Right?
And I didn't get ratted out for that, but that could have been me.
Mm-hmm.
3 months in jail, and I could have had that record and all. Oh my gosh, I don't know. Jess, and so that's the thing that you're kind of waiting on when you're that. Instead of, and I'm not saying, like, everybody come and be a part of what you want to be a part of, right? those are the folks that the newer to the plant, mm-hmm. welcome, right? But also you came out of the corporate world and you decided you wanted to go into cannabis and you're going to get a recreational license in the adult use market and all of these things, and you've got some cash and all of these things and you've got all of these hopes. Mm. I have the opposite.
Right.
Just simply because I'm fully expecting. Mm-hmm. Like, what happens if my business goes away?
Right. Right.
Just goes away. I'm like, well, I guess I'll go get a job.
Well, to any of those corporate people yeah. listening, like that, I'm your girl, because I will pull the rug out from underneath you on day one and yeah. then we'll rebuild it the right way. And that's, I mean, that's really what it is people don't understand cannabis is not the same as other businesses. And I've thankfully I've had enough exposure to all of the different facets of the industry that I've been able to see people make mistakes so that my clients don't have to.
Right.
And that's, you're right though. Like, it's a wild ride over here. And right. there's a lot of people, you know, people have heart and I love that, but that doesn't build a business. And that's where cannabis, I think we talked about this a little bit before we went on the air, and most people who work in cannabis do it because they love it.
Mm-hmm.
And the people that...
That's what I'm finding.
Yeah. Right. The people that don't, I think often people are like, well, why are you even here if you don't love it? Because like we're pouring our blood, sweat, tears, yeah. all of our time into it. But we don't ask that of other industries, right? Like when I worked for a private investment company, I didn't love investments. I didn't eat, sleep, and breathe derivatives and, you know, shorting and things like that.
Right.
I was aware that they occurred. I needed to know certain things in order to function in my job role. But like at the end of the day, I didn't care. And we don't, you know, in cannabis, we want people to live and die. And, yeah. you know, sometimes I think we need to
by
just...
By the plant, that is. Not just, I mean, we're all
going to
live
we
and
We are
die.
All going to That's live like and a die.
Thing, but,
you know, yeah, I think sometimes we need to take it a little less seriously, like yeah. step back from it and distance, you know, like... This is how I feel about the plant, and then this is how I feel about my business. My girlfriend Angelique said to me the other day, we were talking about business, and she had this analogy posed to her. People always say, like, my business is my baby. My business is my baby. It means so much. Like, I it's my everything. Would you sell your baby? Like, I'm not asking that, but I'm saying.
You didn't put a price.
How old are they?
It depends. Let's talk more.
I
mean,
I think I still call my 17-year-old
right,
my baby.
Right, my baby, yeah.
I might sell him.
Yeah,
I
well.
Mean, at this point, he can kind of fend
for himself. Kind of fend for himself.
You get the last year.
Yeah, yeah. I did all that. I think that's like maybe the most expensive year, though. Like, those just leading into college.
I might have to sell
him. Right, you might have to in order to pay for some things. But the point being, you know, like, you have to have a healthy distance from the decisions that you make because they're good for your business versus because you love something.
Right.
And that's the part that I think sometimes people in cannabis don't quite get right, is we let our love for the plant
sure.
cloud our business minds. Mm-hmm. And it's real easy to. And to your point of like, people are always, you know, they're telling you what they're doing and they're waiting for that. Like, I'm going to grow as soon as this happens and this happens. So that energy feeds other people and they get this like competitive, and it's like, none of y'all are going to do anything for a long time. Right. So it's
it
a
really
little,
seems to be moving
little simmer
slowly.
Down, little simmer
super,
down.
Super slow.
Yeah.
Super slow.
To your knowledge, is this the slowest rollout that we've seen today?
Well, it'll depend when it actually happens. It's right on par with New York, New Jersey, which makes sense because that is what our legislation was modeled after, but like just marred with different, you know, legal injunctions and things like that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, by and large, a lot of states have been able to implement much more efficiently depending on the type of governments that they have. But you see, you know, like Ohio already.
Whoa.
Like, hey, Ohio. New Mexico is another one, pretty quickly came online. Arizona. Like, it you know, there's a certain amount of you want to get it right, but there's a certain amount of you got to get it going, and then you can make some changes.
Yeah, I mean, if you get it wrong a little bit, then you just have to fix it.
We already
it.
Have
You're
it
gonna
wrong.
You're not going to get it all right anyway.
Correct. It is not correct right now. So
yeah.
get it a different kind of wrong, and let's work on
but
it
But I
there.
Do yeah. appreciate that people are putting as much thought. A classic Minnesotan way of doing something, right? Like, really trying to think through every part of it.
But are they? Or are they really trying to think through every part and slash, like, This is my biggest issue.
Let's get in there.
That I have with how long this takes is there are in Minnesota we love Minnesotan things, right? And we want small craft operators. I want small craft operators. So this is me talking.
Yep.
I don't know that I think that the state of Minnesota wants it the same way I do, because what I see are these people that love cannabis. They have scraped together every dime they have. They've borrowed from people. They've leveraged things. And they're just bleeding money.
Languishing, yep.
And I feel like there's part of this that is designed to bleed some of these people dry and just wipe them out of the race.
Yeah.
You think it might be purposefully designed.
Correct. That is my, call it a conspiracy theory. And I don't know that it's maliciously necessarily, but I think that there is a benefit to certain parts of the government for there to be other reciprocal relationships that take precedence.
Well, I was in...
She says very vaguely in corporate speak.
Yeah, no shit.
I loved that.
That
was great. I can't wait for the short to come out on that one.
I owned a construction company for a long time, and most of what I felt, like the rules and regulations, the laws around my licensing and like how I had to interact with the state, mm-hmm. had more to do with protecting existing businesses that had already... a larger
jump
share.
Jump through the hoops.
Yeah, they'd already done the stuff and they already were there and they had the money and the resources to keep up with all of that stuff. And it wasn't necessarily to make sure I was on the up and up or that the business, it was, it, to me, it felt as if the making of those laws was directly related to the protection of other businesses that mm-hmm. already exist. Mm-hmm. And those would be the people who had the ability to lobby for the laws to be made anyway.
Yeah.
So is that the kind of thing you're talking about?
That is the kind of thing that I'm talking about, yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense to me. Because I doubt there's like people in a smoky room somewhere, you know, saying, let's bleed these people dry.
Listen, not at the OCM. I'm not sure they're in any smoky rooms. And that's, I think, part of the problem too is so. Like, again, that separation of like running things as a business versus a cannabis thing, like it's a lot of people that are making legislative legal decisions as legislators, not cannabis consumers who have any idea what the end user wants, what the production mechanisms or, you know, cultivation mechanisms are needed in order to get that end product.
But you've been to like a city meeting.
Sure.
Right.
Yeah.
And they're going through the procedural shit. And it's like, we've got five things to do tonight. We've got five decisions that need to get made. And we're going to spend 3 hours or 4 hours just to get through to even try and get there. And then we're not going to solve mm-hmm. four of them. We're going to get maybe one will get done. And the rest we're going to table until later. Like it's always slow like that.
Bureaucracy.
Oh my God. Always.
Yeah.
You know? So,
well, I mean, look at what they did with CBN in the hemp side of the market and how restrictive that was. Mm-hmm. I mean, half a milligram?
Or THCV now, outlawed completely.
Unbelievable, right?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I can understand.
It is it's a varin, and each cannabinoid has a varin, but essentially it is a version of THC that is very energetic for most people. And it is it is psychoactive. It's about a tenth as psychoactive as THC. Okay. So you don't have a ton of worry there, but people use it, they call it diet weed all the time. It very, very uplifting. Love to see it in beverages like alongside caffeine and L-phenamine and like some of these other,
you got the corner on the market with the caffeine.
Right.
Yeah.
That, and also, right, diet weed, right? Mm-hmm. It is known to be an appetite suppressant, right?
For some
that person that maybe it's like, oh, I don't really mess around with that too much because I eat one gummy and then all of a sudden I eat the cupboard.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, like the THCV may be something that helps. Works well.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Whatever receptor is getting triggered, turning on your appetite, THC might downregulate that. And so you're not having those same cravings.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
God, I know we can't go to, I know this. All this stuff can't be unregulated. I get it. But it
Why
just
not?
Seems like,
Why
well,
not?
No. I mean, personally, I that's where I was headed, right?
No, I mean, but I truly wonder, like, no, why not?
That's where I was headed. Yeah. Was I know that it won't, it can't be because we won't allow it as a society, is right. what I mean, right? But it seems to me like these are the types of things. I guess an equivalency would be like, I don't have to worry. If this were all happening in heirloom carrots or mm-hmm. heirloom tomatoes, you know, like I love tomatoes, right? You go places and they're like, here's the different variety of tomatoes we've grown this year. Well, I don't like these. Yeah. I don't like those so much. And we've kind of just let humans decide what they want or don't want out mm-hmm. of it. This one, man, what a mess.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like, mess.
It's a lot of plants, though. And really, when you start to think about, like, where does this come from? Like, certainly, I don't think that we should have unfettered access to heroin. But I do think that when it comes to somebody who has pain management, and if you have the option to give them a way to utilize a natural medicine, and heroin is, you know, made naturally, versus a, you know, petropharmaceutical that, you know, if you have equal ways to distribute and give give restrictions around it, like, I'm not against that. Like, I don't think that, again, like, we should give it out to kids on the corner for fun, but I do think that there are ways that other natural medicines could be reincorporated into our society the way they were at one point and, you know, dispensed by knowledged professionals.
Right.
Not necessarily doctors, although yes, doctors too,
sure.
But that there could be a categorization of people who have specialties around these different medicines, which we have again in like all these other countries.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, we do.
Yeah. It's not like so wild.
Right.
They just here.
Yeah. And I don't see us getting away from it.
Yeah.
Like
I don't know though. I have a lot of hope actually. Like I don't know why. Maybe that's just the sunny optimist. Yeah. I am truly an optimist. Even like in cannabis
I
right now,
too.
I'm still an optimist because like, it, you know, like what's my other choice?
Right. It seems like, and I think this often of our government and kind of life right now in this world, it seems like someone should just like ring a bell or something and be like, you know what? Fuck all this. It's just too complicated.
Right.
You know what we're going to do? And we never do this. We're going to take the entirety of the set of rules that we've created around this thing and just toss them out.
Throw them out.
And just see what happens for a while.
Wouldn't that be amazing?
We're going to let this like a complete hard reset on something and just see what happens.
I think all the people would short circuit. Because do you know what I mean? Like, even if you reset the system, people are a product of their systems.
Yeah.
So, like, how do you... I think the opposite is true. I think if you reset the people reset the system. And I think the plant is what helps reset the people. And, like, I think cannabis is an amazing tool to do that. But I think there are a lot of, like, other plants, right? Like,
sure.
I think we're going to see a big resurgence of some of our psychedelic friends.
Yeah.
And that could have a pretty positive effect overall on people because there are, again, very clinically based practices for incorporating these. And if we had a little more money to do some research, I think we might find that, you know, despite all of the amazing drugs that we're coming up with every single day, like they all started somewhere in nature. So like maybe we could go back to that a little bit and see what else is there. And like maybe we don't have to play with it quite as much as we are to get the things that we need out of it.
Yeah, I mean, we're awfully heavily medicated or whatever. And a lot of that stuff is, I mean, there's these times when you know someone and you love them and they're dying of this or that and the medicine is what's saving them or what's good, you know? And then there's how did we get here though? Like what,
yeah.
What, you know, what caused this ailment in the first place? How much of this is our, you know, us developing all these unnatural things and then putting them out there into the world. And then I don't know, it's the whole,
is it the chicken or the egg, right?
Yeah. It's the whole, like Are we sick because we're eating the wrong things? Is it the agricultural mm-hmm. industry? Is it the food industry? Is it the...
It's all
Is it pharma? I know it is. I know
it's
it is.
Every bit of it, right?
I'm not huge into the conspiracy stuff, but that's not really even conspiracy. That's just sort of reality of where we... I don't think that it was, in each case, people with bad intentions.
I truly don't believe that it all started with bad intentions. No, I think... It just so happens that money corrupts people.
Yeah. Well, and people get...
It's a money thing.
At the end of the day.
When people get these ideas, like researchers are like, oh, you know what? We've figured out what little chemical causes this thing to happen in your body that could be beneficial for mm-hmm. people. So let's make a whole bunch of that and put it into people. And then it's like, oh, shit, we didn't realize it was going to do this other thing. You know, so it's not always bad intent. It's just sort of... Nature,
yes,
the nature of humans
and large scale application of things too, right? Like yeah. sometimes you try something and it works in a couple people and you're like, great. And you roll it out and it's like, ooh, when that trial population is much larger, like that's when you start to see some of these negative side effects. So I think, you know, we're looking at like Ozempic now and some of those mm-hmm. GLP-1s that came, it was a different kind of medication. This was this, you know, like the positive byproduct of it. You roll it out to a huge population, and now a couple of years later, you're starting to see like it works amazing for a ton of like, and that's great. There are different side effects that people didn't necessarily have when we were only using it, right? And so, it you know, what are you willing to risk, right? It's your risk reward, yeah. that thing.
I think of it as a visual. I think of it as like the day, you know, we developed flight, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know. And that's cool. Now and then you fast forward, and now we're flying all over the planet, and it's detrimental to us, mm-hmm. right? Or we get space flight, and we go up, and we're like, look, we're in space, and it's really super cool. And now you look, and they've got these satellite images that track space junk, and you're like, holy shit.
Yeah.
There's that much
We're just throwing it up into orbit now.
Floating around our planet. Like, yeah. There's that much stuff up there causing trouble. How are we ever going to get through this? I think, you know, it's the same thing with the regulations around our a plant,
mm-hmm.
a frickin' plant that we can mm-hmm. all grow.
And that's pretty fantastic as far as home grower rights.
100%.
In Minnesota, right? I mean, we can all grow it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that sounds better.
It's amazing. Right? I mean,
tomatoes.
We may not be able to grow it as well as Elizabeth grows.
No,
it,
you know right? what? I don't but grow. Like, that is, and people are always surprised by that. And I can do a lot of things very well. And there might be a day and time that I can grow cannabis very well, but I have 3 kids and a 150-pound dog, and I keep as many things in my house alive as I have capacity for at the moment.
Right.
Like, right over where Mill City Ruins is right now, there was two buildings. I think it might be a hotel. I love these old buildings. This is what our office was like, and they'd converted it. But there was a waterfall in the inside, which is wild when I think about it now. They had one wall that was all mirrored up like 6 stories, and there was mm-hmm. a waterfall. And
there's a river running under
the Mississippi?
No.
Oh.
Bassett or Bass Creek.
That's cool.
But it used to be...
Like through the building?
Well, there's, you know, there was sort of a gorge through here, and it comes out right here, actually. That's that little bridge or something that you said mm-hmm. you could see. Anyway, it runs right under the building, and they used to have a viewing dome in the middle of the building, but then it started to get so polluted and gross that they covered the dome up.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Anyway.
Because we can't have nice things.
Because we can't have nice things.
There was too much space junk accumulating in the toxic river that they had to.
That's right. That's us.
Yep.
Oh, let's regulate weed. I don't know. I don't get it.
You schedule it.
Now it still doesn't make sense to me. Anyway, Elizabeth, thanks for coming in.
I mean, I hope I maybe broke it down a little for you.
I don't know.
Did I make it more complicated?
No. I think I'm as not the normal host of this show.
Mm-hmm.
Landry should be here. I'm trying to figure out exactly what it is that this show is doing. So we've got, this is the tail end of season 2.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Season 3 is coming up. And I just want to, I'm seeking more purpose
mm-hmm.
for the show. So we'll figure out what that means exactly. But it's been great so far. It's been a ton of fun to produce, a ton of fun to be a part of.
Yeah.
and things are moving, but we got to figure out, like, you know.
What do people need? That is actually the question that I ask myself all the time.
Yeah.
It's like, what do people need? And I don't know if this is going to be helpful to you at all, but what I have found is we need to stop making everything about cannabis and incorporate cannabis into everything we're doing. And Minnesota has already started doing a great job of that because of beverages and gummies right. like yours that are available in places. But instead of going to a weed event, instead of going to a smokeout, like I want to go to a barbecue and there's a cannabis consumption area there. Mm-hmm. And the event isn't about cannabis. It's about barbecue or literally insert any food category. I will go to a festival for anything. But have cannabis there. Maybe it's a yoga festival sure. and it's all different yoga things, but there's a consumption tent. There's a conscientious consumption tent.
Yep.
Maybe it's a sports ball festivities, right? And
sports
and
ball.
Yeah.
Sports ball.
Yeah. Whichever one you want it to be.
Yeah, I get it.
Right?
Get it.
And there's a component. Or I love seeing it in different, you know, last night I went to the Dakota and at the bottom of my menu it said THC menu available.
Yeah.
Great. Give me the THC menu. I don't want a cocktail.
Right.
My dining companion might, but it's nice
this
that
is very
I have an option.
This is very similar to my friend Jen Virale, but anyway, her message is same thing, but I want there to be like really nice craft non-alcoholic cocktails
mm-hmm.
so that it's just normalized.
Yes,
right?
Correct.
So that you don't have to worry, is my companion going to have this? Am I going to have that? And you want THC to be in the same.
Yeah, just throw it in the mix with other things.
And I think we are doing that.
We are
pretty
here.
Well in Minnesota.
But I will tell you, it triggers a lot of people on my Instagram stories when they see the life that we're living here in Minnesota. And they're like, I wish I could do that. I wish I could do that.
Right.
And I will say to our Minnesota listeners, like, it's our market isn't perfect and our market isn't even fully launched yet, but it is doing some really cool things that a lot of other markets are not and haven't had the opportunity to do. And so like regardless of all of the opinions that I have of it, like I'm really proud of what we have and I am really excited at the potential that it has for our model to be rolled out across the United States. And whether that is hemp based or whether it is, you know, it's all cannabis. So
yep.
however we figure out our end product,
isn't it more efficient to just
low
go?
Dose, it is, that's a whole nother, but like low dose cannabis beverages, mm-hmm. however they originated, like that should be the model
I,
for people.
I've said it on when I've been on the show before, I've said it. I think that's ultimately the future.
I agree. In part.
Well, sure. let me phrase that slightly differently. It's way easier for the average mom or dad or mm-hmm. whatever to grab a 4-pack of some THC yes. beverage than it is to go home and explain to your kid that you're going to roll a joint and
right.
smoke it, right? Mm-hmm. Just a whole different thing. And so I think the market, as it opens up, the biggest part of the market is going to be those consumer goods that
yeah.
are super yeah. well packaged.
And it doesn't feel like doing drugs, which is, you know, like a lot of people, you know, will that it feels like doing drugs. When you see somebody get out a torch and a dab rig, like
yeah.
that feels like they could be, it's a little methy is what
yeah,
I, you know,
yeah.
like, and I, right. I love
I've heard that
it.
Before.
I love yeah. it. But I understand even visually.
But this can.
Right. I have a like, oh, you know, and yep. kids, well, mom, what are they doing? Well, they're smoking drugs, child.
right.
And like, it just.
It's not the best image.
It's a harder sell. Well, yeah. why that drug and why not this drug? And it's like, well, son, because the American system.
Well, and yeah. some of these drugs do different things.
Let me tell you about the Rockefeller.
It just is, it's options is what it is what it comes down to for me. And when I look at a full bar, right? Like you walk into some joint and there's just, there's booze all across the back of it. And whenever I'm walking in to sell into places like this, I'm like, it's just another option, right? That's all I'm jockeying for.
Yeah,
I'm just presenting another option for you to be able to give your guest something that they might want.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That's it. We just want it to be an option. And as it becomes more of an option and NA beverages become more of an option and awesomely crafted
yeah.
non-alcoholic cocktails, like you're
yeah,
saying,
yeah.
we just want it to be an option.
Yeah. And it's just changing the culture. We have a drinking culture. Oh, that's it doesn't easy. Have to be a drinking alcohol culture.
Correct.
Yeah.
It can just be a drinking culture.
That's right.
I like that.
Okay. I like it too.
Good.
Is that where you want to wrap, Sam?
I think that sounds good. Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, thank you so much
for joining
us.
Yeah. It was fun.
Enlightening me? Fun.
Yeah. Confusing you?
Is that what happened?
Yeah, something.
Am I more enlightened now? I don't know.
We'll check in with you tomorrow.
Yeah, we'll see.
We'll see. Tune in for the start of season 3 to see what happened to Sam.
Yeah, yeah. Here we go. Cheers, everybody.
Crying on the couch. I don't understand any of it.
I can't wait for that short.
That short's going to be the best.
That's if the aliens don't come before then, guys. There's a 50-50 chance right now season 3 is just not going to happen because they're all going to come and...
You know, if that's what happens, like maybe this is the right time for it.
Yeah.
We seem to be catapulting ourselves into oblivion anyway. Maybe the aliens need to come and be like,
you know what it is? It was when we started telling them that we knew about the space junk and we weren't going to do anything about it. They're like, that's it. We're coming down.
Speaking of space junk, I know the show's over. Have you seen this stuff where there's like unauthorized, unknown drones flying around in groups around the country?
Yeah,
that's what I'm talking about. Like, yeah. I think they're probably aliens.
Well, I think there might be man-made drones too. I'm not sure, but like this goes back to my we create something, and some kids like, I mean, I remember flying the little things 10 years ago. They'd have them at the mall, and you're like, this is so cool. And then when there's a big one hovering over your house, you're like, that's not so fucking cool anymore. Well,
what are they looking at?
Like, why? Now we weaponized them. Great. Yeah. Way to go, humans.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
It's like those terrifying dog robots.
We can't leave good enough alone sometimes.
Scare the shit out.
I don't even know what that is.
The dog robots?
No.
It's kind of like, I don't know. It kind of looks like, they kind of look like cats. If people ever are mean enough to like put the tape on the bottom of a cat's paw.
Yeah.
You know, and they do that weird.
Yeah. I saw the other day, I saw a... autonomous delivery bot at the like U of M hospital campus.
Yeah.
So this is like something's got to get from one point to another, and there's probably a pilot program, or maybe it's been around for a while. But anyway, this bot was like a little wheeled tracked thing, and it was going to go from one place, and it's sitting at the curb, and the humans are just walking across the street. But it's looking back and forth, and there's always a car or always something going. So it sat there for fucking 15, 20 minutes. It was like, I can't go. I can't figure it out. Is this really better to send the bot? Is it really better to send the little robot, or should we just send a human with the thing?
I saw it was a bunch of, I think it was in Arizona, they have a lot of autonomous cars there. And there was somebody double parked, like a delivery vehicle, an Amazon. And all of these different autonomous vehicles came up, and they all just, because the one guy couldn't go around them because the other one was there and nobody could move. And there was like six of them just coming and building up, and none of them could move because like their algorithm would not allow them to.
Yes, right.
Yeah.
Don't let the algo get you.
Humans.
Listen, they told us in Terminator, and we didn't listen.
I know. We haven't listened to any of the apocalyptic.
No, but can I tell you my hot take is that all of this was decided before. I'm 44, and I think all of this was decided before I had any decision-making capabilities.
We still don't have any decision-making capabilities. I'm 49. It's still the boomers. They're still doing it all. Anyway.
Well, if you're listening to this podcast, please release the robots.